Hi everyone, here we are again. Welcome to the Cloud Technology Show. This is a show for technology professionals interested in the trends and technologies impacting the world of cloud. I'm today's host, Tobias, cloud technologist at VMware, joined by the rest of my team, Martijn and Mandy, the cloud technologists globally. How are we doing today, everyone?
Good.
So hopefully everyone had a chance to watch our pilot show. If you didn't, then as a bit of a summary, we talked about ourselves a little bit. We also talked about the role of a technologist and, most importantly, the types of things that we're seeing in the industry at the moment. So if you haven't seen it, please go back and check it out. You're going to learn some things about us that even we didn't know about each other. And on the last episode, as part of discussing the things that we're seeing in the industry, one of the main topics that came up as an overarching concept, which touches everything that we talk to customers about, is the cloud operating model. So that's going to be the focus of today's episode, the cloud operating model. Let's kick it off in simple terms. So Martijn, Mandy, if you had to explain what a cloud operating model is in the most simple terms possible, how would you describe it?
I would say it's whatever changes you need to make to your IT operations infrastructure in terms of not just technology, but people and process too, to be able to take advantage of this new world of cloud. That's cloud best practices, that's cloud technologies, and that's reorganizing to be able to support these cross-platform services effectively.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to this new mode of operations, just like Mandy said, right? It's about moving your traditional IT operations towards a world where we're basically going to make advantage of all the things that cloud has to offer. And that, for a lot of companies, is something that they need to invest time in from a people, process, and a technology perspective. But that of course, is of course the end, well, not the end point, but I think it's the journey to move towards that, the cloud operating model, where people are going to manage basically a private cloud or in the end, multiple clouds, because that's where we see the industry moving towards. And that's where we have a lot of conversations with our customers about today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, yeah. If you have public clouds, you're going to be supporting those resources slightly differently because the level of responsibility or the waterline of responsibility changes between your traditional teams and what they're now supporting in a public cloud. And then most organizations are also wanting to bring the experience of the public cloud to their private clouds, which means delivering complete solutions on demand, but usually by API or through a portal. And that means supporting cross-functional services, which traditionally IT operations organizations have not been good at. You know, you have these silos of networking and compute and storage and database and even down to, you know, firewall or load balancing or whatever. And now these services have to be treated and managed as a whole, so more cross-functional teams. So there's technology that goes into it, but there's a lot of reorganization and re-skilling that needs to happen as well.
And it's not just a VMware term, is it? This is an industry term that... No. It's being used by, you know, consultancy companies, analysts, obviously a number of vendors, including us.
And like cloud native, everybody uses it slightly differently. But I think that, you know, in general, we're all talking about the same kind of thing, changing the way that we've traditionally operated to be able to take advantage of these new technologies.
Yeah, and I think there's a number of ways of saying it, and it's kind of coming out in the same way, right? It's people, process, and technologies. And, you know, changes that are required for a customer, for a business to try and involve their organization and effectively get to multi-cloud or effectively manage multi-cloud services, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I think it comes down to once you start looking at, you know, your cloud strategy and a strategic use of cloud services, when you have these tactical uses of cloud, you can still kind of shoehorn them into your traditional teams, but it's not ideal, and you're not able to get the full benefit of those. It's really looking at what do you want to be able to deliver, you know, through cloud, and how best to organize around that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it fits into kind of one of three main areas for digital transformation, right? So you've got your application strategy, which is, you know, what are you doing with your apps, the five R's that have been around forever. I was looking this morning, actually, and Amazon actually have seven R's. So there's lots of things that you can
do. I know, everyone has a different number of R's,
And that's kind of potentially where you start. Or you might start on the other end, which is your general cloud strategy, right? Deciding where you're going to consume workloads and services, whether it's going to be private, hybrid, public, multi-cloud, any kind of combination between those. That's the other part of it, right? Is so you've got the apps, you've got where you're running them, and then the cloud operating model in my head kind of fits in between those two.
Yeah, but what we're seeing basically within our customer base, right, there's a variety of customers in there, and it really comes down to the maturity level. It really comes down to who are you speaking to, how far along are they with this journey, and especially when it comes to public cloud. Like Mandy already stated, right, it typically started with private cloud, but now we see more and more customers moving towards towards multi-cloud, where they're going to consume public cloud, because over time, well, I think 10 years ago when we started with public cloud, with cloud as a general thing, at that moment there wasn't anything such as public cloud. I think AWS and Azure was still not around, but over time, basically next to the things that what people were doing from a private cloud perspective, they're now starting to consume, already are starting, already consuming basically public cloud. And then the question becomes, what are you going to do with these multi-cloud solutions? But just like you said, right, it all starts with that application strategy, and that application strategy typically comes from business strategy, which then is influenced. Well, it's a variety of things, right? It's not as clear as from business strategy applies to application strategy and then infrastructure strategy. There's various ways to go around doing cloud, and typically it comes to from, look, you need to analyze, sit down, what applies to your company, and that ultimately results in a cloud strategy, which is going to then result in the cloud operating model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one of those things where you need all three, really. You know, you can't go to the cloud without an application strategy of some kind. You can't really operate clouds without a cloud operating model of some kind. And I think a lot of the customers I speak to are doing pieces of it, or they're doing some version of this in different ways. And so if we think of it as people, process, and technology, those three things, I think VMware mostly gets involved in the technological side of it, so the actual software that can help with this. Mm-hmm. But before we go into that piece, let's talk a little bit about the people and process and that kind of side of it, right? Because, you know, if you're a consultancy company, that's probably your main focus for a cloud operating model, is what are you going to be able to do with your customers to help them transform and evolve into this new world? So from a people and process perspective, what's your perspective on that?
Well, let's first start with what you just said, right? I think the successful implementations, at least what I've seen within our customers, are the ones that really think about it up front and not just do something and then think it will be okay and will all turn out to be okay. Because the people and process side is always the hardest thing to do, and especially that's not what we do as VMware, right? We are, well, we can leverage some skills in that area, but we typically do the technology, right? We deliver the software that enables our customers. But it starts with the people and processes, and that's really that transformation from traditional IT, as Mandy already said in the beginning, is that silos from network, servers, storage, that then turns into a private cloud, but now moving into the multi-cloud, that's where we really see this cloud center of excellence coming to light, where you need to have various disciplines, right? Not only private cloud, but also the public cloud administrators. Finance comes into play, security comes into play, and the business also becomes more and more important, because they want to basically be part of the decision making, where it traditionally was something that IT did. It's now something that basically is done by the business. So you see the shift happening from a provider operated cloud, being the infrastructure people, to now a consumer operated cloud, meaning that the business has more control on how these clouds are being operated.
Yeah, I think with the people and process, the jury is still out a little bit. As Martijn had said, you and you too, Tobias, had said, you can go a certain distance with just this tactical use of these solutions to get you so far. But to really take advantage of them, you have to change the way you operate. And so companies are looking to do different things like, you know, implementing cloud center of excellence or implementing a cloud engineering and a operations team, or a platform engineering and an operations team, or several different service delivery teams, which have, you know, traditional infrastructure resources in them. I have all kinds of customers that are taking a slightly different approach. And so I'm waiting to see how it kind of all comes out in the wash and what really seems to stick, because this is a big transition for organizations. And it's, you know, it's the analysts, of course, will have their opinion of what's happening and guidance for these companies. But I'm waiting to see what's really happening out there and what's really successful. And it might be something slightly different works for everybody.
So I think some of that leads me into thinking about the individuals in this transformation. So when we're talking about people and process, people specifically, you know, there's different skills to learn, there's different opportunities. Martijn, one of the things that I've heard you talk about before is the platform engineer of the future as part of this.
Yeah, we really had a talk, I think, 2 years ago with VMworld, me and a colleague, Matthew Steiner. We spoke about platform engineer of the future, right? That's really the transition of the vSphere admin to become now this engineer that needs to do all the things. A virtualization administrator already needs to take care of the virtualization, the storage, and the network. But when you transition towards cloud, that also changes the job role, right? But we see a natural movement for vSphere administrators to move towards these platform engineers or cloud administrators, depending on what you call it. But they are the ones that ultimately need to build the services. And I already said, from when I speak to customers, cloud is nothing more than delivering services. That's the thing that you want to do. For that, you need to have automation. And that's what cloud delivers, either in a private cloud or in a public cloud. So yeah, platform engineer really comes down to that transition that we see traditional vSphere administrators make when their company moves towards a cloud infrastructure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've seen, you know, historically, I guess, some level of uncomfortableness with automation. You know, is this going to make my job go away? Am I automating myself out of a job? And what we've seen is that that's not the case at all. And actually, IT or technology resources or people have become more empowered, I think, than ever before in my career with the DevOps movement and some of these other things. And so you really don't have to wait for direction from your organizations anymore, even if they don't have a Deloitte or a Gartner or somebody else coming in and setting direction. Individual people working on things. If you're a VI admin and you're worried about certain parts of your role going away, go and learn Python or you know, some other skill that's going to help you as you transition into this new role. You're totally empowered to do that now, and I think it will really set you up for the future. So actually, it's still a really exciting time to be in technology because there are so many options available and things are changing so fast. I think people need to embrace it and not be afraid of it.
Absolutely. I think it reminds me as well of, so I was watching the Johnny Depp version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with my kids on the weekend. And
the slightly darker version.
I didn't notice the first time around. Yes, mm-hmm. It's really good. And one of the things I noticed was Charlie's dad had this job in a toothpaste factory screwing on the lids. And then he lost his job because a robot could do it faster. But then he got his job back as the engineer for maintaining that machine. And I think it reminds me a little bit of what we tend to see when companies adopt automation in a big way is a lot of the kind of the boring, typical, repetitive stuff goes away. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that it should be, right? And then that allows more space and more opportunity to look at higher level services and look at more business value services and closer into the application space, potentially, if you're typically used to being in the infrastructure stack. And so it's interesting how it changed. But yeah, that's been my experience as well. We've talked about what a cloud operating model is. I think it really fits into this people, process, and technology. We talked a lot about the people and about the process. But where VMware, as a company, really focuses is on the technology. And the business unit that we're part of is the cloud management business unit. So Mandy, Martijn, who wants to kick us off with some of the technology and how that can help benefit a cloud operating model?
there are two aspects to it. There's taking your private cloud and building out the capabilities so that it looks like a public cloud, you know, with the self-service and the automated remediation and, you know, just using the intelligence in the platform to take as much of the busy work or the reactive work off of the shoulders of your engineers and your operational resources and folks. And then there is the, you know, extending a governance layer that's consistent and visible across both your internal resources and your resources that live out in the public cloud. And so there are, you know, connections between the two, of course, but they are also quite separate use cases as well. And so the technologies that we have are very focused around making that happen. So for below the waterline in a private cloud, for example, it's all around utilizing artificial intelligence to make smart decisions for being proactive around making sure resources have the underlying resources that they need, that you understand how the workloads react on in different environments, empowering your developers and DevOps teams with more capabilities. And then around the public cloud, it's really around protection first and foremost, protection from, you know, costs spiraling out of control, which we've heard from every customer that's had any kind of experience out in moving workloads to the public cloud. And then risk from, you know, misconfigured or poorly configured systems, because these are new constructs that maybe your teams are not familiar enough with to be confident that they are secure and that you've reduced those risks. So it's providing capabilities to make sure that you have those protections in place.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it would be easy for VMware as a company to say, look, moving to public cloud is hard and it's expensive and don't do it. And we're going to make it so much easier for you if you just stay in the data center. But that's not the reality. And that's not the best thing for the company. And it's not the best thing for our customers either. So I really like the fact that I work for a company who's trying to help customers really become agile and move forward and adopt new technologies like public cloud. I know it's not new anymore, but you know, a lot of our customers that we speak to, our enterprise customers, are still trying to get into public clouds in one way or another. And being able to provide technology that helps that, I think is a real credit to VMware in general.
We've always been about choice. We, with a few exceptions, we've never been a hardware company. We've always been entirely software company, and we know what our specialities are. We know where, you know, what we're really good at, you know, and there's been things that we've attempted and found that we weren't as good at, and you know, have moved on and left that to other companies to fill those gaps. But we know what we specialize in, and we've always been about choice. Our platform is, you know, extensible. You've always been able to integrate with many different systems. There's a healthy ecosystem out there of getting integrations to work across the board. And so I think that is a natural progression for us to extend that to public clouds as well. It's just another infrastructure platform at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's just an infrastructure platform, but what we're trying to do is simplify, right? I've been working for VMware for 10 years. The only thing that we're trying to do is simplify it for our customers to run workloads. In the end, it's all about running that application that is basically there for the business to consume. But the job needs to be made easy. And what we're now seeing is the transition towards public cloud. It's already said at some point, it's more about as a service consumption. That's what we're now trying to enable. Yes, you can still do it all yourself, but we also have the ability to do that as a service so that you can focus more on the task at hand, which needs to be delivering cloud services or delivering the IT infrastructure services to host those applications. That's what we're focusing on. And I think that all combines into the thing that we call the cloud operating model, right? And some people tend to say we need to have a cloud-first strategy. Yeah, as long as it doesn't matter if it's private cloud, public cloud, or some kind of a hybrid cloud solution, as long as the focus is you need to service towards your customers, which are basically internally your developers, lines of business, whoever wants to run an application, That's what you need to take into account. And that's what we try to enable with our technology, that we really empower our customers to move towards that cloud operating model.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. It's all about the applications. I mean, without the applications and the cloud services, we're just running servers and we're looking at flashing lights for no reason, right? So I think you're right. It starts with the application and the services and the workload and the outcome that you want to get. And the technology can help with that. And I think the technology that I'm often talking to customers about whilst talking about cloud management specifically is often about visibility and optimization. So looking at, you know, from top to bottom, if it's on-prem, then you start at the hardware. If it's a public cloud, you start at the cloud, right up to the, you know, the virtualization layer, to the Kubernetes layer, to the app layer, database layers, cloud services, visibility into the whole thing, and also across the network as well. So if you're thinking about migrating or moving apps or refactoring them or any of those five R's really, you want to get some visibility into the topology of how the app's connected across the network. And the applications are just driving more and more complexity as time goes on. And that's becoming more and more difficult to do without specialist tools to help you do this. So I think often it's visibility and optimization that the conversation starts with.
You're touching an interesting point, right? It's the application transformation that's also happening within the industry, right? If you're either building new applications or you're migrating those applications towards something that's more cloud native. And I think when we acquired Pivotal and we insourced it again, we're now got with the Tanzu portfolio the ideal platform to be able to transform applications and the expertise of some very good people that know how to do it. But ultimately, for us, it doesn't really matter if you're just hosting your stuff still in your data center or you're doing application transformation. It all needs to be managed. And that's what we as cloud management try to tailor for our customers, right? Is have the ability to be able to, whatever you're doing on your cloud journey or your application transformation journey, we have the ability to manage it. If it's either in the data center, just running private cloud, or you are fully fledged with multiple clouds, doing Kubernetes, doing native public cloud service, and your traditional virtual machines, that's where we have all the solutions. So for us, if you look at that 5R model, we don't really care where in that journey you are, where your application sit, because ultimately it comes down to one thing. IT still needs to be in control and needs to be able to deliver the services towards their customers, the internal consumers of the platform. And that's ultimately what we try to empower our customers, traditionally the vSphere admin, but now also more the cloud centers of excellence, to remain in control of whatever's trying to happening within the own environment, however that environment may look like, right? One cloud, two clouds, we don't care.
And then I suppose, you know, from that kind of visibility and optimization and governance and the pieces that you were touching on then, the other thing that I heard you mention was, you know, how we provide services to consumers. So you have the providers and you have the consumers. And I think one of the topics that comes up quite often is self-service, right? And infrastructure as code is a popular buzzword at the moment, or maybe it's a, you know, a self-service catalog where you have buttons to click on. Mandy, what do you think is going to win out of those kind of areas, or do you think we need both still?
You're always going to need both. That you have different types of consumers of services, and so you're always going to need both. What we've seen over the past few years in the CTAB, the Customer Technical Advisory Board, for example, is the teams that were originally offering their infrastructure services through the portal, either through a request coming through ServiceNow to front-end vRealize Automation, for example, or directly through the catalog portal in vRealize Automation, the ratio has now changed that many more of their users are now just consuming services directly through API and maybe going more towards infrastructure as code and picking their own blocks of infrastructure to build a little more than maybe the pre-templated complete application stack. So it tends to vary a little bit every year, depending on how many more internal groups they've rolled capabilities out to. But I think there's always going to be a need for consumption options, because different teams have different levels of expertise, different levels of knowledge of the underlying systems, and so are going to want to have different levels of access to the knobs and dials.
And I suppose some people take it further into pipelines as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
with APIs, I talk about pipelines too, because that's the stuff will be consumed via API, and it's a very easy way to get it into pipelines. But yes, more so, kicked off by pipelines, absolutely, than by user initiated. Yes.
And I think the main thing, the value that we actually deliver again, is the choice that people have. As you already noticed in Mandy's story, it's about various teams having different tools to be able to combine that. And that's ultimately, again, the job of IT, or in this case, cloud operations, to be able to provide that choice, but in the end, also remain in control. We provide the guardrails around those services, right? It's perfectly fine that you can have those services if they're either in the private cloud or in the public cloud, but you need to provide those guardrails. And that's where IT is still responsible. And I come back to my previous point, from you as IT operations or cloud operations, you need to remain in control. And that's what we're trying to facilitate with the use of our software.
Think about what a lot of companies are still doing. You know, they have these groups of users. DevOps teams and some developers are very fluent in these different technologies. And they're the folks that will go out straight to AWS or Azure and get the services they need and build what they need, and they're done. That's the shadow IT problem that we were trying to deal with early on. There are many customers that still say, I can't possibly automate all of this, because every time somebody asks for a resource, I have to call them on the telephone. I'm assuming a wired telephone, right? This is the old of a process. And talk to them, like, what do you really want? I know that you asked for this, but what do you really want? And those users still exist. They buy an off-the-shelf software, or they have a contractor or a consultant that comes in. And they're still demanding the same level of resources that they would have demanded for a physical box. And this request is going in. And so many of our organizations still have people making that call. So I think that's the first thing to challenge for some of these organizations, the really technical users that know exactly what they need. They'll go get it, they'll find it somehow or another. It's simplifying the consumption of services and making sure users are getting what they need when they need it for those other sets of users. I think that's a more urgent use case for many of our customers, or equally urgent, right?
And then I suppose, the final piece, and just to try and, bring this technology section to a head, the final piece that I see is the higher order of management that comes later as you, and it could come earlier, but it comes as you start to need to manage multiple clouds and look at things from more of a business perspective, right? So things like financial management, we have different users to then help from that perspective. So, you have CFOs wanting to figure out across all of these different clouds and these different business units and these different everything, how do we look at becoming as efficient as possible? How do we make sure that we get the right reporting, that we satisfy, mm-hmm. From a compliance and a privacy and everything else perspective, that higher order of management becomes important then too. So I was going to lead on to some of the business value that a cloud operating model enables, actually, because I think that's important to focus on what the value is for the business. And actually, you just highlighted one that I hadn't thought of before, actually, which is if we're doing application transformation, cloud strategy, and cloud operating model all at once, which most customers or large customers, enterprise customers probably are in some shape or form, those things tend to get done separately by different teams who have different responsibilities, etc. And actually, one of the things that I noticed as far as what you were saying then is it almost gives a common language and a common terminology so that these teams know what each of them are responsible for. And without that common language, it becomes quite difficult to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And so I think that's another piece of value that there as well.
In that regard, the cloud operating model, if you define it right, because we talk about it, as we said in the beginning, it's something, it's a generic term, but I think every cloud operating model is unique to each customer. But it's kind of like this manifest which basically says how the company is going to use cloud. And that typically is defined in the cloud strategy, of which the cloud operating model is the natural outcome.
Right.
And that's the thing that we're trying to do. And that's just like I said in the previous things, the value is really bringing all those opinions into one document. And that ultimately gives you the ability to move forward in this world of cloud. You just spoke about what the business value then actually is. Well, I think from our perspective as VMware, we're trying to offer our customers always choice. Look, we're not going to say thou shall only use this or thou shall only use that. We never did that. We didn't do that with hardware. We're not going to do that also with cloud. So there's various options on the table. And the other piece that we're trying to deliver from a business perspective, again, I come back to it, is that IT operations or cloud operations remains in control of whatever aspect that's involved with cloud, if it's cost, if it's security, if it's the resource optimization, it's running the cloud underneath it. That's where we as VMware are trying to deliver towards our customers, whereas typically IT operations or cloud operations, the means to remain in control, to not restrict your consumers, but on the other hand, still be able to be in control and accountable to your organization. I think those are the two main business benefits that I typically talk to customers about. Maybe you guys see something else.
So I think I totally agree with what you just said. I think some of the other ones, and we touched on them as we've been going through, but you know, more secure, more compliant, keeping some of the auditors happy, depending on what industry you're working in. I think those are real tangible business benefits. There's also, you know, the more efficient use of resources, streamlining some of the financial management is going to help overall improve bottom line and things like that. An increase in time to market, potentially getting into
supporting innovation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not being a roadblock or not, you know, in causing delays in business processes. Yeah, all of those things.
Absolutely. So we're coming to the end of the show now. So let's start wrapping up. Everybody, remember to check out our social media, LinkedIn, Twitter. We've got the Cloud Insights blog, which Manby is uploading a new blog to as we speak. So we'll make sure that one's shared. I think that's it for social media. If anybody has any TikTok tips, let me know, because I'm still not there with that yet. I'm going to put some extra links into the episode notes with some more information on the cloud operating model, where cloud management fits in, and also some of the concepts that we talked about today. So thank you, everybody, so much for watching, and see you all next time.
Thank you.